This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You're staring down a murder-for-hire trial, your co-conspirator's son's already locked up for life, and your daughter's possibly one eyebrow away, eyebrow raise away from being the next one indicted. You kind of need a miracle, or at least a judge who might see things your way. That's where Donna Adelson's legal team made their boldest move yet, trying to boot Judge Stephen Everett off the bench just weeks before the trial. Why? Because Judge Everett made it very clear he wasn't buying their attempts to sanitize the narrative, especially not when it comes to Wendy Adelson's fictional novel that might read more like a family diary in disguise. After signaling that parts of that book could be used to impeach Wendy on the stand, the defense went on offense, arguing that Everett was no longer impartial. Spoiler, the motion to disqualify him was not only denied, it was denied twice with barely a flicker of hesitation. So today we're asking, how often do these kinds of Hail Mary judge challenges actually work? What does it tell us about how the defense sees their own case unraveling before it even starts? Eric Faddis, defense attorney and former prosecutor, joining us to help answer that question. I mean, getting a judge booted from your own trial, you know, basically because you don't like how he's ruling pre-trial, it's not an easy task. It's got to be a big mountain to go up.
Oh, most definitely, Tony. And, you know, it's a decision that you cannot make lightly, because think about what you're doing. You're saying, hey, judge who's presiding over my client's case, I think you're unfair. I think you're biased. I think you need to be kicked off of this case. In fact, you need to kick yourself off the case. What judge is going to agree with that? It's so difficult for a judge to ever review that motion and be like, oh, you know, I could see here. Yeah, you're right. I am unfair. I'm going to get off the case. No, what happens almost every time is the judge denies the motion. And now you got a judge deciding your case who is probably not so happy with you. And you know, that is just not a good look for your client and for how the future proceedings might go.
Why even attempt it in a case like this? It's not like they really had much to even go on. They didn't have, well, you should recuse yourself because it turns out you and Wendy are buddies or something. Something right. that it's linked familial or friend-wise or something where it's like, okay, that would make a lot of sense. Not just, oh, I don't like your rulings thus far and it shows your bias. Well, just because the evidence doesn't look good for you doesn't mean the judge is biased. So why risk that? Why risk going into the trial and already having the judge not be on your side?
You know, if you're going to make a motion like that, like you alluded to, you've got to have some kind of serious grounds to bring. Like you said, if the judge, you know, knows the prosecutor and they go out to dinner and stuff, even that's probably not going to get the judge disqualified. If the judge had some kind of financial interest in the dispute, that might be more credible grounds. If the judge had some political association that happens to be germane to the controversy over which he or she is presiding, like in the Trump case, that's what they alleged. That's at least some evidence. Here, it's just kind of saying, hey, I think you did a ruling against us I didn't like, and so I see you as unfair and I want you off the case. The judge is going to laugh at that and then maybe not be so kind to that side going forward.
What does it say about the strength of their case, the fact that they're willing to to kind of make that move or risk that. It's that whole idea of the mood of this trial going in where the judge already feels like there's some shady stuff going on over here.
Yeah, I mean, in every case, there are good facts and bad facts. But this case, I didn't think that that was necessary. Sometimes when you don't have anything else, gosh, you got to throw a Hail Mary and see what happens. But here, the case is largely circumstantial. There are some incriminating things in the diary and also in financial transactions. But I'm just not sure it was necessary. What did defense gain from taking this chance in which the odds were so against them that they would even prevail? I don't know.
What are your thoughts on Wendy's book? It's a book that largely nobody knew existed. And it was written well before the actual murder took place. And it talks about a single mom became a single mom wanting to get out of this relationship, moving to do that, but has problems with a husband who doesn't want to move. I mean, it very much mirrors a lot of reality. There's not like a murder aspect to it, but it's more of a story of freedom, of second chances, of coming of age, whatever the hell whatever the mini series would look like, or the, you know, it would be something of that. A woman, she finds herself again in the Hallmark, you know, Hall of Fame, whatever.
Have the voice down.
It would be like that. What are your thoughts? How strong is this novel in terms of evidence? It's not proof of guilt, but it does kind of show, you know, what she wanted. But I don't know that it shows anything that we already didn't know, that she wanted to move. It's clear that they wanted to move. They offered him $1 million to move, and he said no. So I don't know that it shows motive for murder. It just shows, yeah, that's what the family wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, I think the prosecution's going to argue this somehow is connected to a motive that Donna Adelson, you know, didn't like her daughter's situation with the husband and wanted some change in that situation. That being said, I think we got to be real careful about taking pieces of art, and I use that term kind of loosely, because there's editorialization, there's artistic license, there's fabrication, exaggeration, omission, and everything under the sun. And it's similar to using like rap lyrics against rappers. You know, sometimes it might seem appropriate, but sometimes those expressions in a literary format are not the same as like a confession or an admission.
Yeah.
And I think the jury's going to see it in that fashion.
I'd like to see Donna Adelson become a rapper. I think that would be fun. I mean, I should do an AI version of that, of Donna Adelson.
Maybe Bad Boy Entertainment will sign her.
That's a great label. I heard they got this producer named Diddy that it's pretty popular and knows the beats. So the judge has shown a pretty firm hand so far. He's allowing impeachment via the book, denied the disqualification motion, and seems unwilling to let the defense control a doorbell. Unwilling to let the and it still goes even after the muting. Unwilling to let the defense control the narrative. I mean, is there a risk that a firmness could be perceived as biased by jurors later on?
Surely that is something that if the defense can argue that, they will. I've seen that in many trials. And it's kind of uncomfortable, right? Because the judge is sitting up there. The judge is on the bench. And you're trying to argue, hey, this guy's not giving my client a fair shake. And it just adds to the unfairness of the charges and everything else. So absolutely, the jury is going to be looking at are things fair from a fundamental perspective? And if they see something that appears to be really one-sided coming from the bench, that can influence how a jury sees a case, certainly.
I know they're also looking at possibly trying to delay this further. Obviously, maybe that could be a good move. Maybe that could be a bad move. Why delay this thing any further than it already has been? Nothing really new is going to happen. Nothing new is going to change. I mean, is there a chance that some other, you know, evidence comes up that clears Donna? Or is it just kind of, you know, the longer this sits, maybe the less people remember about Charlie's conviction?
I think there are a number of possible strategic advantages to delay. One is, like you said, the just the momentum and the public following of the case and stuff. You know, as years go by, other cases come up, Karen Reed case, and that starts to grip the public, and the Adison case becomes less prominent. Additionally, Donald Adison is getting pretty up in age, and the older she gets, the more sympathetic of a defendant she becomes, and also the more arguments that can be made in terms of if there is a conviction and incarceration imposed. You know, there are health arguments. We're seeing Harvey Weinstein making similar arguments to try to prove his situation. And so, although I don't know that there's a really great meritorious reason to delay it, there are legal strategic reasons to consider it.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.